This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa afdalu salati wa tamu taslimi ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman wa fiqhan fi ddini ya rabbil alameen. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We study tonight a very sad chapter of the Islamic history, and as we know, this is the month of Muharram, and we are coming onto the occasion of Ashura, which has really nothing to do with the sad event and religious significance with the sad event that we will study tonight, other than it coincided with this sad battle of or massacre of Karbala and the death of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, Sibt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where many brothers asked me to talk about the events that led to the massacre of Karbala, and what lessons and other issues that we can derive out of that. So inshallah, that will be the subject of tonight's session, and we will talk about that. The last time we talked about any of the fitan, may Allah prevent us all from falling into fitan, was when we spoke of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and before that we spoke of the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. And as a matter of fact, most of this tribulation in the early Islamic age started with the murder, the assassination of Uthman ibn Affan, and went on for years and centuries, way into the Khilafah of Bani Abbas, into the Abbasi period. And one after the other of these fitan were all based on most of the same issues, and all revolve around the Khilafah and who is worthy of the Khilafah and who has the right to lead the Muslim Ummah. And as we saw, that started right immediately after the murder of Uthman ibn Affan, where Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu may Allah be pleased with him, was given the bay'ah, was given the pledge for the Khilafah in Medina. And then off that came the problem with Zubair ibn al-Awwam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhuma, and then how that was settled after the battle of Al-Jamal and in Al-Basra. Then the conflict, the major conflict that happened between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And that conflict peaked at the time of the battle of Siffin, where Muslim lost the largest number of Muslims, and among them there were many Sahaba that were killed on that day. In some references it was 70,000, alhamdulillah. And in some other references it was up to 90,000 were killed on that battle. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib returned to Al-Kufa, where the events of the judgment or At-Tahkim took place. And then after that, Ali stayed in Al-Kufa and wanted to regroup his army and to reclaim his right for the Khilafah. And the people of Al-Kufa and the people of Al-Iraq, south of Iraq in general, that's the area of southern Iraq, is what was called Al-Iraq at that time. And the two main cities in that part of the world were Al-Basra and Al-Kufa. And Al-Basra, people of Al-Basra basically let go of their support to Ali, and then even the people of Al-Kufa started weakening, and they were given excuses to Ali ibn Abi Talib about how they should not fight and they would not fight, as we studied in details during the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the events of the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib ended with the assassination of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he was killed. Immediately after the death of Ali radiallahu anhu, on the 17th of Ramadan of the 40th year of Al-Hijrah, his son Al-Hasan ibn Ali was given the bay'ah. Al-Hasan ibn Ali was given the bay'ah as the Khalifa. So now there was two people that had the bay'ah from the Muslims. The Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma was in Al-Kufa as Khalifa of the Muslim, of the Muslims, and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was given bay'ah by many Muslims in Al-Sham, but in entire Muslims in Al-Sham. He had control, yarhamukallah, he had control of Egypt at the end of the Khilafah of Ali, and he also controlled Al-Madina and Mecca. And Al-Hasan radiallahu anh restudied the situation, and he decided to end the fitna, end the tribulation, and he sent to Muawiyah, as Muawiyah was also coming towards Al-Kufa, to settle the conflict and end the tribulation and fulfill the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Al-Hasan. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Al-Hasan, يُصْلِحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِيَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rectify the conflict, the affairs of two groups of the mu'min, of the Muslims, with this young man who was Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma. So he gave up his rights of khilafah, alhamdulillah, to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, with conditions. The conditions that happened, and this happened in Rabi' al-Awwal or Rabi' al-Akhir, of the 41, the 41st year after Al-Hijra. And the conditions were that Al-Hasan will give the Khilafah, the right for Khilafah to Muawiyah, and will give him a bay'ah. After Muawiyah, Al-Khilafah, when Muawiyah dies, Al-Khilafah will go back to Al-Hasan. So Al-Hasan put himself, he's much younger than Muawiyah, so he put himself second in line, right after Muawiyah, Ibn Abi Sufyan. So after Muawiyah dies, the Khalifa, or if he's incapable of being a Khalifa for a sickness, whatever, then the Khalifa will be Al-Hasan, radiallahu anhu. And then things will settle. That was the term, the terms of that. And then Muawiyah will pay the debts that accumulated over the people of Bani Hashim and the supporters of Ali radiallahu anhu for these words. And ask the people of Al-Hijaz in general, Mecca and Al-Madinah, to pay any penalties, any financial penalties to Muawiyah, and the people of Al-Iraq will not pay any penalties, and none of them will be punished for their conflict with Muawiyah. So it was a total peace based on Muawiyah being the Khalifa, and then Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma become in line for the Khilafah. And Al-Hasan left Al-Kufa, left Al-Iraq, and he went back to Al-Madinah, and he settled in Al-Madinah. Well, the events moved on, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, that Al-Hasan radiyallahu an dies. And there are different reports in history that Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu an was poisoned to death by his wife, based on orders from Bani Umayyah, from people of Umayyah, and some references refer directly to Yazid bin Muawiyah. And Allah knows best, some of these references say that Yazid promised the wife of Al-Hasan that he would marry her after Al-Hasan dies, and she sends to Yazid after she kills her husband to marry her, and he said, I didn't expect, I would not be happy with you being the wife of Al-Hasan, so how would I be happy with you being my wife? And Allah alam, some of the scholars say these are really weak narrations. But the fact of the matter that Al-Hasan dies, and Al-Hasan dies before Muawiyah does. So the rules of that sulh, of that treaty between Al-Hasan and Muawiyah, that after Muawiyah dies, Al-Hasan would become a Khalifa. So now Al-Hasan is dead. So there is this seat of Al-Khilafah, who is the successor of Muawiyah, is left open. And the expectation of Ammat al-Muslimin, of the general Muslims, that it's the same way of every Khilafah. It has to be Bay'ah among the great elite of the Sahaba, and Shura among the Muslims. And the big Sahaba that are left at that time are to decide who would be the Khalifa. Who are they? Who are the Sahaba that were left at that time? Mostly the sons of the great Sahaba that have their sons, they have companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and others. So there were still some Sahaba living at the time of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who was a Sahabi himself. On the 50th year after Hijrah, and that is 10 years almost, or 9 to 10 years into the Khilafah of Muawiyah radiallahu an, something happened, and he came to Mecca and Al-Madinah. The story goes, and this is in Al-Askari, the reference on that. He came to Mecca and Al-Madinah, and he sat with Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. And he wanted to sit with them, and Abdullah ibn Abbas would turn his face away from Muawiyah. And we know Abdullah ibn Abbas was with the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was a supporter of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he wouldn't even look at the Khalifa. He wouldn't look at Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And Muawiyah reportedly, and this is as narrated in Al-Askari, said, أَنَا أَحَقُّ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرُ مِنْ هَذَا الْمُعْرِضُ وَابْنِ عَمِّهِ. He said, I am more worthy of this Khilafah than this one that is not turning his face towards me, meaning Abdullah ibn Abbas, and his cousin, meaning Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas looked at him and said, وَلِمَا? And why are you saying that? أَلِي تَقَدِّمًا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَمْ لِسَابِقَةٍ مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ? Because you're of the first early Muslims, he's given him the facts that he was of the late Muslims after Fatah. He said, you are second, you know, class to the ones that you're talking about, namely Abdullah ibn Abbas and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Or are you kin to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You're speaking of the Prophet's cousin and his two cousins, and who are you to speak so badly of them? And Muawiyah answered him, said, لا ولكن ابن عم المقتول. No, I'm the cousin of the murdered one. Who's the murdered one? Uthman ibn Affan. He said, well, فهذا أحق به. يريد ابن أبي بكر. He said, well then عبد الرحمن ابن أبي بكر, because he's also kin to the family of Uthman. He said, he would be also worthy of this. It's just your kin to Uthman ibn Affan doesn't make you worthy of the Khilafah. And then said, Muawiyah started arguing them. He said, إِنَّ أَبَاهُ مَاتَ مَوْتًا. He said, no, the father of Abu Bakr, the father of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, meaning if a kin should get the Khilafah after the murder or the killing of his predecessor or kin, then Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr should get the Khilafah after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Then Muawiyah said, well, his father died naturally. So, as if you have to be murdered to transfer the Khilafah to your kin. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas was very intelligent, and he was a man of hujjah. He turned to Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, well, فَهَذَا أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْرِ. Then Abdullah ibn Umar should worthy be Khilafah, because his father was killed, and his father was a Khalifa. His father was Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then Muawiyah said, no, أَبَاهُ قَتَلَهُ كَافِرٌ. His father was killed by a kafir, by an unbeliever. And she said, this is just empty argument, really. And Ibn Abbas said, فَهَذَا أَضْحَدُ لِحُجَّتِكَ. So if he was killed by a kafir, then he's more worthy of the Khilafah of the Muslims than somebody who was killed by a Muslim. إِن كَانَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَتَبُوا عَلَى ابْنِ عَمِّكَ فَقَتَلُوهُ. Because the Muslims had some blame over your cousin, meaning Uthman. So they killed him. So he said that when Umar died, no Muslim was angry with Umar. But when Uthman died, there's some Muslims were angry with Uthman ibn Affan. So Abdullah ibn Umar should be more worthy of the Khilafah than you are. So there was some conflict and argument going between Muawiyah and the great elite of the Sahaba at that time. But on the 50th year after Hijrah, Muawiyah called the people of Asham to give the bay'ah to his son Yazid. And the history reports, there's some conflicts about how that all started, but many said it was an advice of many of the close people to Muawiyah, and really concern of the people of Umayyah. What would happen to them if the Khilafah went out after all some of the oppression that they practiced against Bani Hashim and against Ali and all these wars? And they were concerned that if the Khilafah and the power left the house of Umayyah, there would be some retaliation, or they would basically lose their influence among the Muslims. So he took the bay'ah from Asham. Asham was in the grip of Muawiyah, and it's been like that for 40 years, 30, 40 years up till that time, because Muawiyah, even before he became a Khalifa, was Amir over Asham for 20 years. And then after his Khilafah was Amir for another 20 years. So Asham was really in his grip. And he asked the people of Asham to give the pledge to Yazid, and the pledge was given to Yazid ibn Muawiyah as the successor of the Khilafah after al-Hassan died. So they will not leave that position open. So he sent to Amir al-Madinah. Now who was Amir al-Madinah? The governor of al-Madinah was Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Marwan ibn al-Hakam of the tribe of Umayyah. He sent to Marwan ibn al-Hakam saying, take the bay'ah of the Sahaba. Most of the Sahaba resided in al-Madinah. He said, now I want the leader of the Sahaba to give the bay'ah to Yazid, so Yazid can be Khalifa after Muawiyah. So Marwan gathered them, and he said, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأَى أَنْ يَسْتَخْلِفَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَدَهُ يَزِيدُ سُنَّةَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. He said that Amir al-Mu'mineen Muawiyah wants you to give a pledge, a bay'ah, to his son Yazid to have a khalifa like Abu Bakr and Umar. What does that mean? Like Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr, before Abu Bakr died, he recommended Umar. Before Umar died, he recommended six. And he said, you choose out of the six the most appropriate one for the Khilafah. So Marwan al-Hakam is telling the people, the Sahaba, that he is going with the Sunnah. That like he wants to leave, doesn't want to leave this place empty, this position empty. He's going with the Sunnah, with the way of Abu Bakr and Umar. So Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, he said, Bal Qisra wa Qaisar. This is not Abu Bakr and Umar. This is Qisra and Caesar. This is not, we don't give Khilafah to our children in Islam. He said, it's not inherent. This is the way of the Persians. This is the way of the Byzantine. Muslims don't, this never happened before. He said, إِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ لَمْ يَجْعَلَهَا فِي أَوْلَادِهِمَا وَلَا فِي أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِمَا. He said, nor Abu Bakr, neither Umar, left the Khilafah to any of their family. Not, you know, nevertheless their children. I mean, they didn't leave it to their children or anybody of their tribe and family. Even Umar recommended that his entire clan of Adi, of Bani Adi, none of them can be a Khalifa. Not only his family, his entire tribe was deprived of their natural right for competing for the Khilafa. And he chose six that don't belong to his household. And then Abu Bakr and Umar, they're not kin to each other. They're really from different clans from the tribe of Quraysh. So they refused to give the pledge to Yazid. Muawiyah thought that this needs a little bit more work. So on the 51st year after Hijra, he himself came to Hajj. Now you go to Hajj from Sham, you go first to Medina, and then you go on the way down to Mecca. So he called for Ibn Umar. He wants to discuss the matter with them one after the other. So he called upon Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, who is a scholar, who is one of the great scholars of this Ummah. He has a great influence on many of the Sahaba. He said, Ya Ibn Umar, إنك كنت تحدثني أنك لا تحب أن تبيت ليلة سوداء ليس عليك فيها أمير. He said, you always say, you preach, and you talk that you don't want to sleep not one night without a Khalifa, without an Amir over you. وإني أحذرك أن تشق عصا المسلمين أو تسعى في فساد ذات بينهم. He said, don't cause any conflict in this ummah, and don't cause any more bloodshed. He's telling him, this is corruption. If you don't agree to give the pledge to my son, then you are calling for a conflict. There will be problems, there will be trouble. And the memories of Al-Jamal and Safin are so very fresh in the minds of these people. I mean, these are the people that fought these battles. And then Abdullah ibn Umar, hamadallah wa athna alayhi, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then said, amma ba'd. فإنه كان قبلك خلفاء لهم أبناء ليس ابنك بخير من أبنائهم فلم يروا في أبنائهم ما رأيت في ابنك. He said, before you there were many Khalifa. There were four of them before him. He said, and they had children, and they did not see in their children what you saw in your son. It's like the qualification that you saw in Yazid ibn Muawiyah to become a Khalifa. I mean, he is Abdullah ibn Umar, the scholar of this Ummah. He is the son of a Khalifa. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. And Al-Hasan al-Husayn Both of them, they were not recommended by Ali to become Khalifa. Al-Hasan was given the Khilafah not by recommendation of Ali. He was given the Khilafah by the people of Ali, radiallahu anhu. He said, لَكِنَّهُمْ اخْتَارُوا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ حَيْثُ عَلِمُ الْخِيَارِ. They chose for the Muslims, like Abu Bakr when he chose Umar, and Umar when he chose the six, they chose what is best for the Muslims, what they thought is the best choice for the Muslims. He said, إِنَّكَ لَتُحَذِّرُنِي أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَصَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِيَفْعَلْ. He said, you are warning me that I will start conflict among the Muslims, and I will not do that. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I am a man of the Muslims. So if you're afraid that I will rebel against your son, he's telling him, if you're afraid, I will rebel against Yazid, if Yazid become a Khalifa, I will not do that. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, I'm one of the Muslims. But I will not call... What he is telling Muawiyah is, I will not give you the pledge, but I will not rebel against the Khalifa, for Khalifa was chosen. And Muawiyah was very smart and an intelligent man. So as long as Abdullah ibn Umar is not saying, I will not... Clearly, he said, I will not reject Zayzid. He didn't argue with him anymore, and he stopped at that. And he said, you can leave. And then, he called Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So after, as he is explaining the situation to Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr became very angry. And he said, إِنَّكَ لَا وَدَتَّ لَهُ وَكَلْنَاكَ فِي أَمْرِ ابْنِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ لَا نَفْعَلْ. He said, you think that we will leave it just like that between you and your son and just leave it and we'll say... He said, no, we will never do that. وَاللَّهِ لَتَرُدَّنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ شُورَ أَوْ لَنُعِيدَنَّهَا عَلَيْكَ جَذَعَ. He said, you either return to the shura or we will fight you. He said to Muawiyah, he said, don't think that this will pass. You can just transmit the khilafah to your son. And then he left. And then he called the third person, who's Abdullah ibn Zubair. Now Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, he's a Sahabi and his father is a Sahabi. And he has great, great importance among Muslims, as we will see. And then he said, Ibn al-Zubair. And Abdullah ibn Zubair was one of the smartest and good war leaders among the Sahaba, plus his scholarly knowledge with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called Ibn Zubair and he said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ ثَعْلَبْ. You are just a fox, رَوَّاق. You're a cunning fox. Son of Abdullah ibn Zubair. كُلَّمَا خَرَجَ مِنْ جِحْرٍ دَخَلَ فِي آخَرٍ. You leave one hall and you enter the other. Why is that? Because he was with his father against Ali radiallahu anhu. Then he left his father and then he supported Ali. And then now he's supporting against Muawiyah. He said, you are moving from one hall to the other. Abdullah ibn Zubair. وَأَنَّكَ عَمَدْتَ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. He said, you are corrupting the minds of these two people, meaning Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. And you are telling them what to say. Ibn Zubair said, listen, you want to give the pledge to your son. He said, إِن كُنْتَ مَلَلْتَ الْإِمَارَ فَاعْتَزِلْهَا وَهَلُمَّ ابْنَكْ نُبَايِعُ. He said, if you are bored of this khilafah, just why don't you resign? And we will give bay'ah to your son. أرأيت إذ بايعنا ابنك معك لأيكما نسمع ونطيع. He said, what if we have you and your son as a khalifa? And I start making fun of him. He said, what if you and your son become a khalifa? Which one should we obey? لا تجتمع لكم البيعة أبدا. He said, we don't give you a bay'ah, meaning that we will not give a bay'ah to khalifa until to a new khalifa until the first khalifa dies. He said, you are not going to get a bay'ah while you are alive for your son who will come after you. And then Muawiyah got on the minbar and he gave the khutbah in Al-Madinah that is reported in history, and he said, إِنَّ وَجَدْنَا أَحَدِيثَ النَّاسِ ذَاتَ عَوَارِ. He said, I heard the rumors among the people and I found that the rumors are not true. زَعَمُوا أَنَّ ابْنَ عُمَرْ وَابْنَ أَبِي بَكْرْ وَابْنَ الزُّبَيْرْ لَنْ يُبَايِعُ يَزِيدْ. He said, the rumor said that Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr and Abdullah ibn Zubair will never give their pledge to Yazid. وَقَدْ سَمِعُوا وَأَطَاعُوا وَبَايَعُوا. He said, they have given me the pledge to my son Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And then Ahl al-Sham said, no, we will not accept this pledge until they come and do it in public. And Muawiyah said, no, that will bring fitna. That will bring shar. He said, مَا أَسْرَعْ بالناس إلى قريش من الشر. He said the people of Quraysh are the fastest to go to this conflict and tribulation. لا أسمع هذه المقالة من أحد منكم بعد اليوم. I will not hear this discussion from any of you after today. So people started going with the rumor that Abdullah ibn Umar agreed to Yazid and Abdullah ibn Zubair agreed to Yazid and everybody is agreed to Yazid. And they would come and ask him and they said, Wallahi ma bay'na, we never agreed to it. Now the only one, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr clearly refused it. Abdullah ibn Zubair told him that we cannot give a bay'ah to one person while the other one is alive. But Abdullah ibn Umar said, I will not be against it if people agree to it. Meaning I will not be the rebel if people agree to that. And he took all of that as they are agreeing to name Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And he went back to Asham. What happened is, as Muawiyah died, and that was on the 60th year after Hijrah. Now, Muawiyah became a Khalifa for 20 years. So the 60th year after Al-Hijrah, Yazid ibn Muawiyah became the Khalifa. Before the death of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, this is only narrated on the authority of Atiyah ibn Qais, and it carries some guilt feeling from Muawiyah. And in one of his last speeches, here's what Atiyah is narrating. He said, Allahum, in kuntu innama ahidtu li yazid lima ra'aytu min fadlih. Allahum, he's praying to Allah, I gave this to Yazid because I saw of the worthiness of Yazid for being a Khalifa. فَبَلِّغْهُ مَا أَمِلْتُ وَأَعِنْ. Oh Allah, help him to fulfill what I have given him. وَإِنْ كُنْتُ إِنَّمَا حَمَلَنِي حُبُّ الْوَالِدِ لِوَلَدِهِ. What pushed me to do this is the love of a father to his son. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِمَا صَنَعْتُ بِهِ إِنْ كَانَ. That if he is not worthy of what I have given him, which is the affair of the Muslim, became a Khalifa, فَقْبَضْهُ. Take him. Meaning that I wish he would die before he become a Khalifa. However, Muawiyah dies and the people of Asham give immediately what they promised, the pledge to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and he became the new Khalifa in the capital of the Khilafa, which was at that time Damascus. Now what is left out there is the people of Al-Madinah, the people that the entire Muslim world turned their eyes to give the pledge, like in with every new Khalifa. So Ibn Zubayr and Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu anh, they leave Medina and they go to Mecca without giving any pledges and without giving the bay'ah to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Our talk today about, we will focus inshallah on Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma. But there were basically two rebels at that time. They were Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma, and as Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhuma. And Abdullah ibn Zubair left with Al-Husayn ibn Ali, left Al-Madinah, and they went to Mecca, the sanctuary, the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to regroup and to see what they would do, because this to them is an illegitimate and not approved bay'ah, and the khilafah of Yazid is a hereditary khilafah and not a shura khilafah. Which means, and many of the scholars of Islam call Yazid Malik. They call him, that they're among the Muslims, there are Khalifa and there are kings. And the Khalifa are the ones that are given the Khilafa with the Shura. And the kings are the ones that got the Khilafa by inheritance. Because Khilafa cannot be a hereditary thing. It is a Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. During the life of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, before this event, he was a soldier in the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was a Sahabi with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 5 years. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died and Al-Husayn was only 5 years old. So he was really a very little child and he doesn't have the knowledge that he would take from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his life with his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, made him a full scholar, and he was raised among the Sahaba, among the great Sahaba. And Abu Bakr would honor him, Umar would honor him, and Uthman radiallahu anh would honor him until the time of his murder. And Al-Husayn was at his door defending Uthman ibn Affan when Uthman ibn Affan was murdered. And then he went on with his father to fight against Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. When Al-Hasan gave the Khilafah to Muawiyah, Al-Husayn was not happy radiallahu anh with that. However, he agreed to obey his brother Al-Hasan, who was older than Al-Husayn, and he was recommended by his father to obey his brother. And he, instead of stirring any trouble at that time, he decided to go fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was with the army that Muawiyah sent to invade Constantinople. And that army obviously was not successful, but got right to the walls of Constantinople and then went back. What happened is he went to Mecca to protest the bay'ah of Yazid. He said after Muawiyah, the agreement was it goes back to Al-Hasan. So if it doesn't go back to Al-Hasan, then it should go back at least as a shura. So the Muslims have to have, the Sahaba have to have their shura among them. Well, the people of Al-Sham said the great Sahaba already given the pledge by the authority of Muawiyah, that Abdullah ibn Umar has given his pledge, and Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr has given his pledge, and Abdullah ibn Zubair has given his pledge. Well, that was not true. And Abdullah ibn Zubair himself rebelled against that bay'ah, and he left to Mecca. What happened is, as this khilafah started, the Iraq started boiling. Now, the Iraq is the headquarter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the headquarter of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was Al-Kufa, the city of Al-Kufa, where his capital, Ali's capital was. And they could accept that Muawiyah was the Khalifa for 20 years despite their feelings, but they could not by any way accept the Shia of Ali, which is the group of Ali radiallahu anhu, could not accept that Yazid now becomes a Khalifa, and then who knows after him how many Khalifa would be hereditary in the clan of Umayyah. So they started sending letters to Al-Husayn ibn Ali that come to us. Come to us and we will help you. Come to us and we will give you the bay'ah. Come to us and we will support you. Come to us and we will revive the true Khilafah. So Al-Husayn was getting all these books, and he, to verify the situation and the affair, he sends his cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of Al-Husayn and the nephew of Ali radiallahu anh, he sent him to Al-Kufa to verify what is going on and how much support does Al-Husayn really have and how much can he do to change this situation. So Muslim ibn Aqil goes to Al-Kufa and he started calling to supporting Al-Husayn radiallahu anh. And immediately 12,000 fighters of the people of Al-Kufa became supporters of Al-Husayn, and they gave their pledges to Muslim ibn Aqil that they will support the call to revoke the Khilafah of Yazid and to give the bay'ah to Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. And after that, it became 18,000 of them. At that time, the governor over Al-Kufa was Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, ibn Abi Sufyan. Ubaydullah is the son of Ziyad, who is the son of Abu Sufyan. Now Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi. And he was with Ali against Muawiyah. And he was the governor of Ali over Basra. But his son, Ubaydullah, was obviously from the elite, from the governor, from the family that is governing the Muslim world at that time, and he was very young at the time of the conflict. Now we're talking about 20 years earlier when all these events happen. So 20 years later, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad becomes the governor over Al-Kufa. And Yazid sends to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad that I hear rumors that there is a rebellion lurking in Al-Kufa. So Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad sends spies to find out the truth, that is there really a rebellion starting in Al-Kufa, and he finds out that this is really true. And Muslim ibn Aqil gets the news that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad is ready to move against this movement that to support Al-Husayn ibn Ali, and he goes with his fighters and he tries to capture the headquarters of the government in Al-Kufa. with Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. So he surrounds the palace or the place of government where Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and he had almost 4,000 fighters with him. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad at that time was bringing the head of the clans and the families that were in Al-Kufa. And he was the ones that would have any desire with more power and more money. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad will promise them more power and more money if they come with Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And those who do not have desire, he will threaten them that an army of Hisham is coming and you will have to pay for your rebellion against Yazid when this army of Hisham gets there. Now most of Al-Kufa, most of the fighters of Al-Kufa has already given their pledge to Al-Husayn. And Muslim ibn Aqil, radiallahu anhu, he sends a message to Al-Husayn to come. Come to us, and we have at least 12,000, and in some narration 18,000, ready to fight for you. Ready to fight for you. At the meantime, Muslim ibn Aqil is surrounding, is besieging the palace where Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. But Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was taking care of the heads of the tribes one after the other. One after the other, either bribing them or threatening them. And like the Shia of Ali weakened after the way of the judgment, the Shia around Muslim ibn Aqil started to weaken. One clan after the other, one family after the other. So, as it is narrated, and Allahu A'lam, this is in At-Tabari, that he, at the time when they started the siege, he started with 4,000 soldiers around the palace, and by the time of Salat al-Asr, he had 500. So 3,500 already left under the influence of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And then by the Maghrib, when the Salah of the Maghrib came, he had 30 to lead the Salah with. So out of 30, out of 4,000 in the morning, he had 30 people that he led Salat al-Maghrib with. No fighting. They just started leaving one after the other, and they're weakened in their determination. And then at the time of Al-Isha, he found himself by himself. He found nobody from the entire army that was holding the governor of Al-Kufa hostage in his own palace. So at night he escaped and he hid in a place, and the soldiers of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, they found him and they besieged him and they got him out of his tent and he was fighting with them. And one of them gave him safety and told him, you know, if we just let us take you to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, you are safe, your life is safe. However, they took him to the palace of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad take him up to the rooftop of the palace, and he kills him on the rooftop, and he throws his body, the body of Muslim ibn Aqil, radiallahu anhu, over the palace to the people watching, so he can show them the power of Bani Umayyah and the strength of the government that is holding power over Al-Kufa. Now this is in Al-Kufa. You have to know that there is no direct telephone number, there are no satellites, there's nobody that can tell Al-Husayn ibn Ali what is going on. But what happened is Al-Husayn ibn Ali got the message from Muslim ibn Aqil that come, there's 12,000 of us waiting here to support you. So Al-Husayn ibn Ali consulted with his family, consulted with the tribe of Bani Hashim, and consulted with the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he determined to go. He determined to leave Mecca and to go, wa alaykum salam, to go to Al-Kufa. Ibn Abbas, his cousin, came to him. Abdullah ibn Abbas came to Al-Husayn ibn Ali. He said, Ya ibn Am, O my cousin, lawla an yuzra bi wa bika, if it's not will be embarrassment for me and you, لَتَشَبَّثْتُ يَدِي فِي رَأْسِكْ فَلَمْ أَتْرُكَ تَذْهَبْ. He said, I will hold on to your head and I will not let you go to Al-Kufa. Al-Husayn رضي الله عنه said to his cousin ابن العباس, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, لَإِنْ أُقْتَلْ فِي مَكَانِ كَذَا وَكَذَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي مَكَّةِ. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for me to be killed anywhere, then I would want to be killed where I am calling for the truth in a way. Said, أن أقتل somewhere else, it's better for me than to be killed in Mecca. Al-Husayn ibn Ali, regardless of what is going on, he knows that this khilafah is a transgression. This way of transmitting the khilafah is a clear transition from the tribe of Bani Umayyah over the Muslim world. He, Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the scholars of Islam, doesn't care if the khilafah goes into a certain family or a certain clan, as long as the khilafah goes transmitted in an Islamic way. So those who say that Al-Husayn left Mecca calling for the khilafah is direct really a mistake. And many of the Muslim scholars, including Tabari, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Taymiyyah, all of them, they said, this is a clear wrong. He went out to defend Islam. He went out to defend the way of his grandfather, or the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ left the affair of Muslims as shura among Muslims. Ibn Abbas came to him the same day, and then he said, Ibn Am, إِنِّي أَتَصَبَّرُ وَلَا أَصْبِرُ. I'm trying to be patient, but I can't. إِنِّي أَتَخَوَّفُ عَلَيْكَ فِي هَذَا الْوَجْهِ الْهَلَاكِ. I'm so afraid for you to die. إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْعِرَاقِ قَوْمُ غَدْرُ. The people of Al-Iraq are people of betrayal. Why he knows that? Because that's what they did to Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's how the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib disintegrated at the end of the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. فَلَا تَغْتَرَّ بِهِمْ. He said, don't be fooled by their promises. أَقِمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَلَدِ. Either stay in Mecca, أَوْ سَرْ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ, or go to Al-Yaman. Now Al-Yaman was a stronghold for the Shia of Ali radiallahu anhu. Now when we speak of the Shia at that time, they're different from what we call the Shia today. But they were a stronghold for the supporters of Ali radiallahu anhu. And he said, إِنَّ بِهِ حُصُودًا وَشِعَابًا. Yemen has many fortresses. If you look at pictures of the old city of Sana'a and all of that, they really had tall buildings even at that time. He said, it's very hard to, and it's a mountainous area. He said, it's very hard for the people of Bani Umayyah to follow you to Al-Yaman. He said, if you want to go and start something against them, go to Al-Yaman. Don't go to Al-Iraq. Al-Husayn said, يا ابن عمي والله إني لا أعلم أنك ناصح شفيق. Oh my cousin, I know you're just giving me good advice, ولكني قد أزمعت المسير. But I have determined to go to Al-Kufa. Al-Abbas said, فإن كنت ولا بد سائرا فلا تسر بأولادك ونسائك. If you are to go and to do this against the people of Umayyah, don't take your children and your women with you. Don't take your family with you. فوالله إني لخائف أن تقتل كما قتل عثمان ونساؤه وولده ينظرون إليه. Said, I'm afraid that you will be killed like Uthman, and his woman, his wife, his daughters, and his children were watching. That's what happened to Uthman. It was very painful death because he died in his house while his wife Naila was watching, while his servants were there and his children were there. Umar ibn Umar. And Al-Husayn decided to go anyway. And he took his family with him. To him it was a move without a return. He's going to do this regardless of what the consequences are. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. Abdullah ibn Umar heard that Al-Husayn left. He follows Al-Husayn. He doesn't even give him advice only in Mecca, but he follows Al-Husayn outside Mecca after 3 days. He walked 3 days to catch up with the caravan of Al-Husayn ibn Ali. And he said, أين تريد? Where are you going? Al-Husayn ibn Ali رضي الله عنهما said, Al-Iraq. I'm going to Al-Iraq. وهذه كتبهم ورسائلهم. He said, these are their pledges, here's their letters, here's their promises, the promises of the people of Al-Iraq. Ibn Umar said, لا تأتيهم. Don't go to Al-Iraq. And he said, no, I determined to go. Abdullah ibn Umar said, إني محدثك حديثا. I will give you a hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar من فقهاء الحديث. He's from the scholars of hadith. He said, if you don't want to listen to me, listen to your grandfather. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِنِّي مُحَدِّثُكَ حَدِيثًا. I'll give you a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِنَّ جُبْرِيلَ أَتَى النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Jibreel came, this is a very famous and authentic hadith. He said that Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَخَيَّرَهُ بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَاخْتَارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَمْ يُرِدِ الدُّنْيَا. Remember the last days of the Prophet ﷺ when he was on the minbar, he said that إِنَّ عَبْدًا خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهِ بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَاخْتَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. That a servant, a slave of Allah, was given a choice between the dunya and the akhirah, and he chose the hereafter. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, this is what your grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chose. What does that mean to us? It may not be the understanding that Abdullah ibn Umar understood this hadith, but here's how Abdullah ibn Umar, the scholar, interpreted this hadith. He said, إِنَّكَ بِضْعَةٌ مِّن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You are a piece of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are his grandson. وَاللَّهِ مَا يَلِيهَا أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ أَبَدًا. This khilafah will not be to any descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the choice to his Prophet, and the Prophet chose that he will not be a king in this dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the choice to the Prophet, he can be either a king and rule this dunya, the entire dunya, or he can be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a caller to Allah. He said, you descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have the ilm, will have the fiqh, will have all of that. But you will not have kingdoms. You will not have governors. You will not be rulers. He said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet has chosen for you. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not request this, and you will not have it. Wallahi ma yaliha minkum ahadan abadan. He said, none of you will become a ruler. None of you will become khalifa. وَمَا صَرَفَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ إِلَّا لِلَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not turn this away from you except for the things that are better for you. Because, you know, what they have is much better than the government over the Muslims. And then he said, no, I am determined to go. He heard all the advice from Abdullah, and then Abdullah ibn Umar hugged him and cried, and he said, أَسْتَوْدِعُكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَتِيلٍ. He said, I will give you the farewell because you are a dead man. You will be killed. He said, in the eyes of Abdullah ibn Umar, whether his interpretation for that hadith is true or not, in his eyes, he believed that this will not end in success. Al-Hussein will not be a khalifa. It will not end in success, based on his interpretation of that hadith. So if he's not going to be a khalifa, then he's going to be a dead man. Because there is no way that the sitting khalifa will let that go against his khilaf. On his way, left Mecca on Monday, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Eid, on the day of pilgrimage, after the Manasik al-Hajj, al-Husayn ibn Ali left Mecca, and he walked on his way to Al-Iraq. On his way to Al-Iraq, he found a man coming from Al-Iraq. And that was a very famous poet called Al-Farazdaq. A very famous Arabic poet called Al-Farazdaq, and he was coming from Al-Kufa. And Al-Husayn said, "Ma wara'ak? What are the news in Kufa?" He said, "Inna quluba an-nasi ma'ak wa siyufuhum 'alayk." He said, "The hearts of people are with you, but their swords are against you." Meaning that the people, they want you, they love you, but when it comes to fighting, they will fight against you. And Al-Husayn continued to move on to Al-Kufa. He didn't know what happened to Muslim ibn Aqil. He didn't know what happened with Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. He had no idea that he had now no supporters, zero supporters in Al-Kufa. And all he had is close to about 70 people with him. It's a caravan, it's not an army. It's the people that are going to be supported. Abdullah ibn Abbas told him before he left, he said, if you are going, wait until if you say you have a lot of support in Al-Kufa, wait until they control the Kufa. Wait until they are victorious in Al-Kufa, then go to them. But you are going to Al-Kufa when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, while Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad is still a governor, he still holds the power, he still holds the armies, then you are going to a place that you have no control over. But Al-Husayn ibn Ali again refused to listen to the advice of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Then, he reached a place close to Al-Kufa. And that place is known as Karbala. And he decided to camp the night in that place called Karbala. And subhanAllah, when he waited, and he said, what is the name of this area where we're camping? They said Karbala. He said, subhanAllah, Karbun wa Bala. Karbun wa Bala. Karb in Arabic means sadness or difficulty. And bala is tribulation or a disaster. He said, what kind of name is that? It's compound of two words that both of them are bad. Karbala, karbun, wa bala. It's like a sadness and a disaster. And subhanAllah, that was a place of sorrow and disaster. And then at the time of the mourning, they started, Al-Husayb ibn Ali asked his people to be ready as they saw a great army coming to them. And that was an army of Al-Hurr ibn Yazid. And they were a thousand people that are coming to meet the caravan of Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. In one narration, that among them was Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and in others that he was not there. But the one that says that Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was with that army, narrates later that he turned away and he did not contribute in the fighting against the people of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi ajma'in. Al-Hurr ibn Yazid was a leader of the army that Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad has sent to fight Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma. And they surrounded the caravan of Al-Husayn ibn Ali. So Al-Husayn ibn Ali, his army was pretty much surrounded in the area of Karbala by an army that is more than 10 times to 15 times their number. And they're all on horses. They were 1,000 rider, Alfu Faris. Not only 1,000 fighter, they had 1,000 people on 1,000 horses. And Hussein said, and they were at the water of Karbala, he said, drink and give water to your enemy. Drink and give water to your enemy as well. And at that day, it was the noon and it was the 9th of Muharram. It was the 9th of Muharram. At the time of Dhuhr, they started calling the Adhan. And they called the Adhan, and he started to give a khutbah right after Adhan of Dhuhr. And he said to these people that he was called by the people of Al-Kufa to come as an imam, because the people have no imam. And this was the call of the people of Al-Kufa. So the army of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad said, what do you want to do? And he said, I'll take one of three choices. Al-Husayn said, I will take one of three choices. Either let me go back to Mecca, or let me go to Yazid in Asham, or let me leave and go to Al-Yaman. Let me go to Thughr, to go fight against enemies that are not Muslims. He said, I have these 70 fighters with me, and they're all of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I will take one of three choices. Start negotiating with them. He said, I'll either go to Yazid in Dimashq. I will go to Yazid in Damascus and negotiate directly with your Khalifa. Or I will go back to Mecca, or I will go bypass Al-Kufa and go fight against enemy of Islam. Go against some other enemy of Islam. Hur said, I have direct orders to take you to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Now Al-Husayn knows who Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, and that is the criminal that killed his cousin and threw his body off the top roof of the palace after he was given safety. After he was given promises that he will not be killed, they killed him. So how can Al-Husayn give himself up and surrender to such an army? He said, that will not happen. And then they wanted to make iqamat al-salah, and the army that are coming to capture Al-Husayn, they asked Al-Husayn to pray behind him. So Al-Husayn led the prayer with the two armies, with the 70 with him and with the army that are coming to capture Al-Husayn ibn Ali. Now they all know who Al-Husayn ibn Ali is, and nobody really would dare touch Al-Husayn ibn Ali of these people. And then they made a salah. And they, after that, Al-Hur said, أمرنا إن ذقناك ألا نفارقك حتى نقدمك على ابن زياد. He said, we were ordered, I was given orders that I should not leave you until I take you to Ibn Ziyad. Al-Husayn said, الموت أدنى من ذلك. He said, death is closer than that. Al-Hur told him, he said, but if you are fought, إن قتلت لتقتلن. He said, if we fought you, we will kill you. And Al-Husayn said, أَبِنْ مَوْتِي تُخَوِّفْنِي. I said, are you threatening me with death? And then he narrated a couple of poetry. He said, سَأَمْضِي وَمَا بِالْمَوْتِ عَارٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى إِذَا مَا نَوَى حَقًّا وَجَاهَدَ مُسْلِمًا وآس الرجال الصالحين بنفسه وفارق خوفا أن يعيش ويرغم. He said, I will go on, and death is not a shame, is not something bad on a man that with good intention, if they go in jihad, and as they are Muslim, he said, dying, if you believe that what you're doing is a jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing wrong with dying in that way. And then he said, as long as I have surrounded, I'm surrounded by the righteous people, and I will die with no fear that I will be living in indignity. And then after Al-Asr, started some skirmishes. That's the 9th of Ashura. This is the day before, the 9th of Muharram, the day before Ashura. And they started some skirmishes between the two groups. And then after that, Al-Husayn ibn Ali took a nap after Al-Asr. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Husayn ibn Ali, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wake up and he tells his dream to his sister. His sister is Zainab, daughter of Ali and Fatima. And he said, I saw my grandfather, and he tells me, إِنَّكَ تَرُوحُ إِلَيْنَا, that you will be coming to us, that you are coming to us. So he got the glad tiding of his martyrdom directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after that, the people came to continue the fighting against the Husayn ibn Ali. And the people around the Husayn said, بِئْتَ الْقَوْمُ أَنْتُمْ أَن تَقْتُلُونَ ذُرِّيَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ. You want to kill the children of your prophets? وَخِيَارَ النَّاسِ, the best people of your time? Al-Husayn told the other army, he said, دَعُونَا نَسْتَزِدْ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا اللَّيْلَ. Let us sleep the night. Let's stop the fighting for the night and let us continue tomorrow. And he continued the entire night and with salah and dua and tasbih. And he gave a khutbah, he gave a speech to the army that was with him, which is really, it's even a transgression calling that an army to the small group that was with him. And he said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَنْصَرِفَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ اللَّيْلَ فَلْيَنْصَرِفْ. Those who want to leave tonight, they have a permission to leave. فَإِنَّمَا الْقَوْمُ يُرِيدُونَنِي. He said, these people want me. They're coming for me. They don't want the rest of you. فَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يُفَرِّجَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said, I want you to leave until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this judgment between me and them. Bani Aqil, the children of Aqil said, well, wallahi, we were not leaving. And Al-Husayn said, حَسْبُكُمْ بِمُسْلِمْ. Enough that Muslim was killed for this message. And they said, لَا بَقَاءَ لَنَا بَعْدَكَ. We will not stay after you. And the rest of the family of Al-Husayn also refused to leave. Now with him was, of the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib, was Abu Bakr, Muhammad, Uthman, Ja'far, and Al-Abbas. Now they were all children of Ali ibn Abi Talib from from people other than Fatima radiallahu anha. And it's a reminder that Ali radiallahu anhu has two children. One of them is named Abu Bakr and the other one is named Umar. And the third one was named Uthman, of his testimony to his love for the three khulafa. Of the children of Al-Husayn, Husayn ibn Ali, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and Abdullah. He has five of his children with him. Al-Hasan, the children of Al-Hasan, Abu Bakr, Umar, Abdullah, and Al-Qasim. The children of Ja'far, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, and Abdullah ibn Muslim, Jazakallah. And the children of Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Awn wa Muhammad, and then Al-Husayn wa Muslim ibn Aqil, radiyallahu anhum. This was the army. This was the fighters on the day of Karbala. On the next morning, they started the fighting between them and the army of Ubaydullah ibn Yazid, and there were 32 horse riders with Al-Husayn radiallahu anh, and 40 fighters on their feet of their supporters, and they started fighting with these people. The way he was described is he, before he started the fighting, Al-Husayn radiallahu anh, he made the ghusl, and then he put the misk, the musk perfume on himself, and he put a mushaf, he took a book with him, and he started fighting against them. While they're fighting on the day of the 10th of Muharram, 500 more come from Ibn Ziyad. Now those 500 more, they were the most vicious of the supporters of Ibn Ziyad, and they were led by a man called Shummar ibn al-Jawshan. Shummar ibn al-Jawshan was a common man who was a supporter of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He's a mercenary, if you will, and he is not known of being a righteous Muslim. And he came and people were falling around Al-Husayn, one after the other, the children of Ali, the children of Al-Hassan, the children of Al-Husayn, one after the other is being slaughtered by this onslaught of 1500 horse rider against them. And Al-Husayn was fighting, as he was described, like a lion. He was fighting against this onslaught. And Ash-Shumar ibn al-Jawshan, he said, وَيْحَكُمْ مَاذَا تَفْعَلُونَ? What are you doing? Go kill him. Go kill Al-Husayn. He said, he is there killing right and left off of you, and you are leaving him. And then the army said, well, no, we will not touch Al-Husayn. Said, we will not want to go with the blood of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu on our hands. He said, مَا يَمْنَعَكَ أَن تَقْتُلْهُ أَنْتَ? He said, why don't you kill him? And Shummar ibn al-Jawshan, he went towards Al-Hassan, Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, and around him all the men that were with him were all killed. And he was by himself fighting against this entire army. And nobody can get to him, either fearing to die when they fight him, or they don't want to kill Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. However, a man called Zar'at ibn Shuraik came to him, and he reached him and he hit him on his left shoulder. And then a man called Sunan ibn Abi Amr threw his spear towards Al-Husayn ibn Ali. Then Shummar came and he cut the head of Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhum. And after that they held his head and they took it in a bowl to Ibn Ziyad, to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And Ibn Ziyad called the people of Al-Kufa, and he started showing people what he did with Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. And he put the head of Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu on display. Abd al-Malik ibn Umayr, a man that witnessed that event, he said, دخلت على ابن زياد وإذا رأس الحسين بن علي أي بين يديه على ترس. He said, I saw Ibn Ziyad and the head of Al-Husayn ibn Ali with him in a bowl or on a shield. And he said, wallahi, I saw the head of Ibn Ziyad himself on a shield not long after that when he fought against Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd. Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd is a supporter of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, which is really the fitna that followed the assassination and the massacre of Karbala. And then Al-Husayn, the head of Al-Husayn was sent to Damascus, was sent to Asham, and it is narrated in many books that Yazid cried when he saw the head of Al-Husayn, and he said, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ كُنْتُ أَرْضَى مِنْ طَاعَتِكُمْ بِدُونِ قَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ. He said, I would be accepting from you your obedience without killing Al-Husayn ibn Ali. And Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu was killed on Friday, on Ashura, on Muharram, on the 61st year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is in paradise. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah. At this time for Salat al-Isha, Jazakum Allah khair. I had a few comments to summarize it about what does the day of Ashura means to us, and what does the sad event of Karbala means to the people that follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, we have to always remember that whatever happens between the Sahaba, whatever happens between the great elite of the Sahaba is a tribulation, is a fitna, is a disaster, is a catastrophe upon this ummah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained this and decreed this upon this ummah. The way of Ahlul Sunnah is to not indulge in a discussion over things, events like that. Indulging over that does not help the situation and can only create bitterness and create more differences among this ummah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and many of these quotes that I will say, if Shaykh Mas'ud will give me maybe a few minutes, Jazakallah khair, most of them will be from Ibn Taymiyyah, who is a mujaddid, who is a renovator, he is a man that revived many of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, called Shaykh al-Islam. And he said, these are people that passed before you. They have their time and their life, and you have your time and their life. And they have a different stature, a different station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet than you do right now. So that you cannot really criticize the Sahaba, and meaning the Sahaba, not people like Shumar ibn Joshan or other people that criminal acts were performed against the Muslims. The other point is, there are some claims among the Shia that the Muslim, the Sunnah, fast the day of Ashura in celebration of the victory of Bani Umayyah against the Al-Husayn ibn Ali. And this is obviously a great falsehood. We all fast, inshallah, the day of Ashura because it is recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And that day of Ashura has nothing to do with what happened on the 10th of Muharram on that black, sad day in Karbala. And there are many exaggerations about what happened in Ashura and after Ashura, and you will see mostly that in the books of Shia, that the sun was eclipsed, and the planets were in chaos, and the sky became red, and if you lift a stone, you will see blood underneath it, and on the face of the earth. And obviously these are all exaggerations, and it is narrated by Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi that the day of Ashura has nothing to do with the customs of Jahiliyyah. And he said, Ibn Taymiyyah, that before Al-Husayn ibn Ali, as much honor Al-Husayn ibn Ali has and as much station in Islam Al-Husayn ibn Ali has, he said, when Abu Bakr died, the sun did not eclipse. When Umar was murdered, the planets did not go in chaos. And when Uthman was murdered, nothing became red. And he said, all of these great Sahaba are more in status and stature and station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet than Al-Husayn ibn Ali, as testified by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, so those extraordinary events did not happen. One last thing, that the Fatimid, Al-Dawla al-Fatimiyya, claimed that the head of Al-Husayn was brought to Egypt and he was buried in Egypt, and they have a place, a mazar, because they were from the extreme Shia, from the deviators that built actually the Fatimite called themselves Khilafah, and they claim that they are descendants of Ali, and this is all falsehood that's been proven in history that is falsehood, and the scholars confirm that there is nothing in that mazar, that the head of Al-Husayn and the body of Al-Husayn, they have no known burial site, and nobody knows where they were buried, and nobody knows where the last resting place of Al-Husayn ibn Ali is, except we know that he is, inshallah, in Al-Jannah, and he is with his grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with that, inshallah, I will conclude today's session, and apologize about taking the extra time, and inshallah, we will learn from these events, and inshallah, we will honor our history for what it is, and understand that history is what brought on many of the conflicts that will come later on. There will be more fitan, more tribulation from that day on. The tribulation of Abdullah ibn Zubayr and many revolutions during the time of Bani Umayyah, and then continued into the time of Bani Abbas, like the revolution of Muhammad and Nafs al-Zakiyyah, because the people of the house of the Prophet ﷺ were still not honored, even when the people of Bani Abbas came to power after the people of Bani Umayyah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path. There's no deviation from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and not to let all these customs deviate us from the truth of the message of the Prophet ﷺ, and hold to the sunnah, hold to the way of the prophets, and not be fooled by any deviation that other sects in Islam have about these events. Jazakumullah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.